hear their forfeit.
These are so embarrassing.
To win any motherfucker always be funny.
Nice work, you dunce.
What's up, guys? We back. The Stool Podcast, what, number 23?
23 episodes.
Episode number 23 in the books? Sheesh, I like it. I like it.
Very special episode.
Very special episode. This is going to be a nice, we got a nice guest in not in studio, but over Zoom today. Anthony, talk to him. Say who you are.
I'm Anthony. welcome to the Stool Podcast. We are here today, our first Zoom episode. First big guest over Zoom, and then our first actual successful Zoom, I would say, right?
You know, yeah, so I think it's working.
Pretty big. let me introduce
Mick first, and then we'll go back to. I got it.
Okay, yeah,
got Mick. You.
There he is,
Mick.
What's up, guys? I'm Mick. Good to be here. Good to see you guys. How you doing? Yeah, dude.
Hey.
I was literally trying to introduce her.
Well, no, you threw it to me. Like I was
throwing it to you guys, throwing it to myself.
Well, let's just jump the shark then.
All right, hey. Come back.
Introducing
to me.
Emily Whitehurst, aka Agent M, or just M, from Tsunami Bomb, from Survival Guide, the action design, lots of very awesome, very influential projects. Very cool to have her here. Go ahead and talk about yourself a little bit.
Hello, that's me. I'm M. I'm here to talk for a while about whatever we end up talking about. And I'm stoked to be here. Thanks for having me on the show.
Appreciate you, Ann, for coming through. Kick it back to me, Mick, because you guys just skipped over me. Hey, my name's Johnny, aka Johnny Savage. I appreciate everybody watching. Like Anthony was saying, we got a very special guest today, Em. We're going to have some fun, guys. We're going to talk about some music. Obviously, she's got tons and tons of experience, and that's what I'm looking forward to. I'm hoping to pull a little bit of nuggets out of her head so I can learn some things, because you have a successful Twitch stream, successful music career, your Patreon's work. And I was looking at it earlier today. I'm like, man, she's got everything moving all in the right ways and right parts of the music working. So I'm excited for this. So let's just get into it. Em, is music? You want to go music first?
I'm into that.
Yeah. Okay. So let's go music. So you brought a song for us to check out, because that's part of what this podcast is. We like to listen to new music and share music with each other. We usually bring a song to share, whether it's fun, cool, like a new trendy song, anything like that. We kind of bring. So you brought which song? Is it Parasite?
Coach Party.
Yes. Yes. I brought Parasite by Coach Party.
Mm-hmm.
I heard it. Last year, the album came out last year, and it was someone, one of my patrons actually suggested it to me. And I watched this music video first and was like, it's pretty cool. I want to look into more. And their album that this is on has a lot of variety on it, kind of like my album does in a way.
Nice.
Like it's just, I really enjoy when artists have, when they switch up their style.
Right.
From song to song. And that's what Coach Party did with their album. So
yeah, we definitely need to see more of that kind of stuff. Eclecticy, you know, in like a whole album as opposed to just like singles from people. You know,
right.
Yeah.
I mean, me and Mick are big fans of that with the Dunce. We try to mix it up like crazy. You know, we use a little bit of all of our influences, you know.
I like that you're playing Django Reinhardt in the background there in the intro.
That's right. Gypsy jazz for life.
Yeah, that's Mick for sure right there. Okay, let's listen to this Parasite by Coach Party. Let's check it out.
Oh, wow. That's more intense than I thought it was going to be.
Okay.
Wait a second. Right off the bat, that is like so grabby.
Yeah, it's right, you know? in your face, like right in there. And it's very, I would say it's like very straightforward, simple, kind of like, you know, instrumentally, but like just the way the vocals are produced is just like, okay, like I'm in.
Definitely grabbed my attention, that's for sure. I like these type of vocals that are very like aggressive with a lot of distortion.
You know what I kind of, in my own head, I classify it as is Scott Pilgrim rock.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that kind of, it's like, I feel like it's that very, you just have the three piece, you know, a bass, a guitar, and they're all just super distorted, super gainy. And then you have the vocals super gainy and it makes a great sound. It makes a cool sound. I like it so far a lot.
Didn't, what you call it? Anamanaguchi, right? I think it was Anamanaguchi. They made like an 8-bit rock band. They're really cool.
Anamanaguchi?
I do remember that. They did a Scott Pilgrim soundtrack.
Oh, okay. That's really that was who did it?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I know the songs from the movie, and that's like immediately like that heavy, like very snappy bass tone is what reminds me of Scott Pilgrim.
Her vocals kind of remind me of, you know, you guys heard of Melt Banana? It's just really in your face, like, ka, ka, ka. I like that.
You say melt?
Yeah. Melt Banana. You guys never heard them?
Mm-mm.
Okay, we'll bring that up later.
Ironically, I've heard of a band called Metallic Banana. It's a different, close name, but different band.
Close. I think they're from Japan, I want to say. Something like that. They're really good. Crazy. Let's listen to this. We have to keep on, you know, pausing it and stuff for YouTube. Turn that up a little. There you go. Is it too loud on your side or are you good?
It sounds terrible to me.
It sounds terrible?
I'm so sorry.
Like distorted?
It's just cutting in and out. Like I can't really hear it.
Oh, so it's doing the same thing.
That's the Zoom shit.
Yeah.
Okay, so
it's a Zoom thing.
Yeah.
It's a Zoom setting or something.
Yeah.
A work in progress,
but I know the songs.
She's like, I'm using my imagination right now.
I can hear it's like it's playing very far in the background, just little pieces of it.
Okay, gotcha. Cool. So what you're saying is we're setting up like a festival vibe for you right now.
Like, yes, exactly. You know, I'm like 1 mile away, there's a band that maybe I want to listen to. I don't know.
Yeah, it sounds kind of cool for me way over here, but I do
like that kind of stuff. I really it's not the stuff I listen to on my day to day, just because I'm a two-dimensional listener more so than I think. But I like that kind of stuff. I do. Mick brings me to that kind of genre a lot. Mm-hmm. He kind of brings that kind of stuff my way. The Queens of the Stone Age-y, I don't know that kind of genre.
I see that.
Right. I see that a little bit. That's pretty cool. I like that. So we do got some questions for you, you know, great song, by the way, good choice. Yes, we got some questions.
Thank you.
We got some questions just, you know, we want to get a little bit of your background and kind of like, just, you know, pick your brain, like I said earlier, and we want to know more about you, you know, and what you do. So just first of all, just tell us what you do right now. Currently, what is the thing that you do? You do a lot of things. What I realize, your link tree or website is like, it's like a bunch of things on there, which is great.
Renaissance woman.
Yeah. Let's hear a little bit about that.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to do it all, because I'm, you know, a full-time musician. So I have a Twitch channel going, like you said. I stream there, it's really fun. It's like I'm using Twitch to kind of just become a better musician. And it's also an opportunity for me to play the old Tsunami Bomb songs that people want to hear.
That's cool.
Which is really fun. So I basically have a list of songs that that you can choose from, and people will request songs that I have learned. And so I'm accompanying myself on bass or piano. And I'm not extremely good at either of those things. So it's always just kind of a fun way to improve while also building community at the same time, which is super fun. I have a Patreon going, which has so many aspects of maintenance that I do constantly. Like today, before this podcast, I did a stream there where I am like a DJ and
nice.
play my own like playlist of songs. It was previously with an actual vinyl setup, but I don't currently have, I switched houses, so I don't have a record player in here right now. But that's just one example. I, for Patreon, I also record birthday songs for people.
Oh, that's cool.
And send those out. Yeah, it's like I've written a bunch of different birthday songs. And
are you having a lot of fun doing that? Is that that's good? I feel like that would be a lot of fun. Like people requesting.
Am I what?
Are you having a lot of fun doing that? I feel like that would be a lot of fun. People requesting individual songs, and then you get to, you know, write a song for them and send it to them, and know that they have this individual thing.
Oh. Yeah. I did do one of the rewards was doing recording a cover song for people. I hadn't mentioned that yet, but I had to pause that because that got like overfilled with like too many people wanted it, which is awesome. But I ended up having to record like 35 cover songs or more.
Oh wow.
And it was a lot. It was a lot that for me, especially because I had to learn how to do that, how to record myself. I've just kind of been on this solo path of like, well, if there's something blocking me, I guess I just need to learn how to do it and then start doing it. And it's not going to be good at first, but it'll get better.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. No, I mean, that's kind of incredible because it's just almost like, you know, you're flying by the seat of your pants there and you're just like, all right, well, I'm going to try to do this thing. And then it blows up, not, you know, like in a bad way, it blows up in a great way. You know, people are incredibly supportive of it. And then that just also kind of gives you, you know, this motivation to try to want to do it and kind of keep going with it. And the drive to learn how to, like you said, learn how to do it from the ground up like that, you know, just all in house, I'm assuming. Do you record with other people or do you record with what you have? Or
For the cover songs and for the birthday songs, I record myself and I just record with the gear that I have. I did not record my own album. That was done very professionally, but yeah, I had to, for the covers and the birthday songs, I had to learn how to do a better job of recording myself with my own gear. Although there are a few songs where I have, or I have like a friend, send me a guitar track or something, but for the most part, all the covers that I did are just instruments or plugins that I used.
Nice. That's very cool. That's very cool. Nice. It just shows you.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say, so you do Twitch. What else do we got? Patreon. Continue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Twitch, Patreon. Well, I mean, there's live shows. I would like to do more of those.
Yes.
I have not been. That's one thing that I haven't excelled at is booking myself. I really hate doing it. So that's a thing that I need to do more of. What else? I'm coming out with a cocktail book. I don't know if you guys knew that, or if you saw my post yesterday.
Yeah.
I announced it yesterday.
Yes, I did see that. That's cool. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. We got the scoop right now. We got the exclusive. Talk all about it.
Yeah. The album Death Dreams came out almost a year ago.
Great album, by the way.
Oh, thank you. And it, over the course of, it actually, the idea sort of formed in a Twitch conversation with my Twitch community, which I feel like is really cool.
Nice.
I enjoy making cocktails at home and just experimenting with them. And something, I don't remember exactly what it was, but something triggered the idea of creating a drink to go along with a song. And I realized that I could do that with every song. Like it was really fun and it wasn't difficult to sit down with my own songs and the lyrics and just the feel of each song and the music videos and decide, you know, what kind of drink I feel like would go with this, and what do I mention in the song that could be an ingredient or that gives me some sort of direction with the recipe. And people seemed excited about it, and it just seemed like a ton of fun. So I decided to go ahead and create an entire book of recipe. It's as far as cocktail recipe books go, it's like, it's going to be practically a pamphlet, you know, because there's only 11 songs.
How many songs are you doing? But yeah, that's honestly one of the coolest, most creative ideas. I'm an experimental musician myself. I did an album a couple years ago where it was accompanied with a homemade comic book that I made. And I love doing stuff like that, and, you know, kind of creating like whatever weird extra experience you can for a record. That's one of the coolest ideas. Just imagine on a Friday, like, you know, you have this, you know, to accompany, I'm gonna listen to this song, I'm gonna make this cocktail, and that's it's like a double vibe. I don't know how else to explain that. It's really cool. That's awesome.
And we like to drink, so that's perfect.
it is perfect.
is there any whiskey favorable ones in there? Because I'm a whiskey drinker. I like whiskey. I drink it straight.
There's at least two. I mean, there's only a total of 14 cocktail recipes, but
14.
Two of them, I think. I tried to like really disperse all the base alcohols evenly, roughly.
Nice. Yeah.
Over the recipes.
Yeah, I like
Very
that.
Cool, man. That's so cool. When do you think that you have a timeline for when that might be coming to fruition, or?
I'm finishing it up right now, and it's coming out on the 19th.
Of this month?
Yeah.
Yeah, very, very
birthday month. Both of us are October birthdays. You want to buy it for each other?
Yeah. I'll buy you one, you buy me one. Let's do it.
There it is.
Yeah, my birthday's on the 18th, so it's perfect.
Yeah.
So, oh, nice.
So just because yours is closer to the day it comes out.
Makes sense.
Great.
No. then we got to, when we buy them, is it okay if we make those drinks and try them right here on the pod next pod.
That'd be awesome.
You know what I'm saying? That'd be cool.
That'd be amazing.
That'd be pretty cool for the Halloween show.
Yeah, we'll do it for the Halloween show.
With Adam Gomez.
Yeah, please
do.
Yeah, that'd be cool. You could make a blood perfume.
That's a good song. Let me tell you
whiskey,
something.
It's a whiskey based.
Perfect. Because that was my favorite song on that album.
Because
I thought it was cool because it kind of like, okay, so that album, I was listening to it and it has like a mixture of genres, right? Because you like to experiment. But on that song specifically, like I'm a huge Deftones fan along with Korn and everything. I'm a big Korn fan. And so I feel like you kind of had like a little bit of Chino-esque style vocals on there, which I thought it was really cool. Yeah.
That's awesome.
I was like, that kind of like Chino-esque right there. I like that. Yeah, it was a really cool song. So I'm going to try that one.
And it really does speak to how awesome the concept is.
Yeah.
Because you said beforehand, you're a whiskey drinker. And without her even knowing, you connected to that song. So it says that she captured
that's
that
crazy.
Vibe. Yep. That vibe got captured, you know?
I made the perfect drink for you.
I can't wait. I got to try it out. I like that.
Can I segue into one of my questions?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sure. I think that's a good spot just because we were talking about, you know, how she was singing and stuff. So throughout your career, all your styles of singing and the way that, you know, punk rock singing goes, like the fast, you know, fast paced kind of like really upbeat singing. What's your favorite way to sing? What's your favorite way to sing? Like, how do you think your voice is like best, your favorite style of singing?
My favorite style is definitely belting. As loud as I can.
Top of your lungs.
That's the most emotion.
Yeah, exactly. It just feels the best, I think, to be singing really loudly and strongly for me. And with the first Survival Guide record, I kind of intentionally was trying to get better at singing softer and realized, like, I mean, that's cool and everything, and I do like it, but I also really enjoy singing loudly. So that hopefully that answers your question in full.
Yeah, no, you killed it. You killed it. Awesome. So, I mean, that being said, like when it comes to writing music, like with your like instrumentation process and how you're putting together, you know, like you said, sometimes you have to play bass or you have to play piano or how does that affect how you write vocals and knowing you have to, you know, do this and that at the same time? Like, does it change how you write parts or do you just kind of like, no, I'm going to write the best thing that I could write and then try to get to be able to play it?
Yeah. So Death Dreams is the first music that I've ever written completely by myself. It sounded like I said written.
Written. We can edit it out. We'll bleep it. We'll bleep it.
Oh,
we'll
no, just take it.
Yeah, take two.
No, go ahead.
So yeah, that's the first music I've ever written by myself. And I thought about that specifically beforehand, having the sole responsibility of writing all of the music and also being the vocalist. And I decided to go really easy on myself and write the music however it came out and write the vocals that went the best with that music and just deal with it later. And it has proven slightly problematic at times now that I'm trying to, you know, actually play the songs, but I don't regret it. I think I probably will do that again.
Yeah, I think that's a good move. I think it turns out great results. That's crazy to, you know, so when it comes to writing stuff, I mean, I think that's super fascinating trying to, like you said, you're jumping into doing everything on your own. What is that more or less like, what does that look like? Do you start with drum ideas or piano melodies or what would take us through, like, at least like, let's say pick a song and then how you wrote it, I guess.
Well, maybe you should pick the song because I wrote them all differently pretty much.
Yeah. Well, perfect. Let's do this. Let's pull up Lady Neptune and let's go with that song. That's the song you wanted to share with us.
Sure.
Let's pull that up and let's see. Let's pick it apart a little bit, because that's what we do here a lot is kind of go through a song and like kind of see what that song was to you and how you came about writing that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do that.
For the listener, let's remember that that she hears nothing good on her end.
Oh yeah, sorry. She knows her song though.
She knows it. Yeah. She knows it.
We're trying.
How about we pause the video and then have her do an a cappella version right here? And
yeah. Let's do that. All right, go ahead, Em.
I was joking.
I was just playing.
Go ahead, play it.
I got definitely groove to this. I was listening to this song earlier. She comes between us, but we can't see it. Scratching with pins and needles, saying the perfect words. Up overhead. Nice video too, it looks clean. A lot of cool B-roll shots.
I was about to say that's like it reminds me. It's got like that early '90s, but also like emulating the '80s vibe. That's the way I would say it.
Especially with the streamers, the silver streamers coming down. Yeah.
Yeah, total. Yeah, like prom. You beat me to it. I was gonna say total high school prom vibes. I keep saying vibes, and I don't know why.
I know Anthony knew who he wanted to take to prom, but let's keep listening. A Beamer, I like that. Is that your actual car right there?
No.
Oh, okay. I'm like, she's doing pretty good. We got to pick her brain a lot.
Now, quick question. Do you know everyone in this video? Or are these just like actors?
Well, this was done at through a video production company. And at this point, I had already made the first video with them. I made Blood Perfume with them too. So they're not actors, but I didn't know them until I made the first video.
Oh, so they're reoccurring.
They're employees.
Like in your network.
All their employees.
Of the video production company. Like the woman that gets out of the car, I think she's one of the owners of the company.
Okay. Oh,
that's smart. Fascinating.
In-house, that's how you do it.
Smart, yeah. Mick.
It was super fun.
I'm already picking up nuggets, Mick. So every video we shoot for other people, we can be in it. That's what she's saying.
That's why they call me.
Trust yourselves.
It's not bad.
That's why they call me the digger, dude.
Not bad.
Now that's real money, right? That's definitely real money.
Damn.
So
they gave it to you after the shoot. Like, here, just like, yeah, take it.
So all you got to do is continue to do your music career, guys. You will have a Beamer. You'll have a suitcase full of money and you'll be good. Yeah. As long as you're doing what M is doing, Patreon, Twitch, have their website, have your merch. Your merch site looks really good too, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, so, I have a question about merch for sure.
Yeah. This is good. I like this song. So real quick question. So you're saying you write this type of music. It's real calm, chill. It has a nice vibe to it. It's like a little dancey a little bit, but you rather be belting. You rather be singing out there at people.
Well, I thought in that question, I thought it was like not the music style, but the singing style
that
we were talking about.
Got you. Yeah.
So there are songs on here that, I mean, this one has a little bit of belting in it.
Not yeah.
Too much. But I mean, were we, was I incorrect?
No, you're right. Okay. I was just kind of going off of it.
I think Johnny was just saying that, cause Johnny, here's the thing is he has this whole thing and I don't know if this is going to be offensive to you or not, but he differentiates certain stuff. He likes bands like Korn and like very new metal, masculine
deathcore
bands, uh-huh. And then me and Mick, we love that kind of music, but also we love pop punk. Obviously, we were raised on a lot of new wave stuff, and Johnny likes to refer to all of that as girl music.
So check this out. So these guys like to put me into like the villain category.
No.
Because I do say some music is girl music, right? I do like Chiodos maybe.
But I think what's happening here is like the way, for example, I could hear how like throughout this song, like she's like really, there's parts in her vocal performance where she's like pushing in and things like that.
Right,
where she's
right.
talking about like, oh, this is an example of, her belting or whatever. But
I get it. Yeah.
But yeah, you, mm-hmm. like, I think you're referring to like a band, like, I don't know, like, what was it? Like Ginger, we refer to as like we're so heavy music, fast
but
music.
I'm not talking about just screaming, but like kind of like a yell sing or like that's what I thought.
That's what you mean.
I misinterpreted then.
That's your misinterpret.
So it's my mistake.
Short answer is this is all Johnny's fault.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I just to let you know, I am not offended by that.
Good.
But I feel like I don't know, like because I've. Some of your other stuff is very soft and it's literally just you and your piano and your, I could hear that differentiation in, your kind of just, I don't know, what is it? Like a whisper tone. I don't really know the actual, but you sing like that.
Probably.
Sing like that versus when you're really projecting and, that's one thing that's really cool. That I would say, about all of your music. And actually that actually segues into another question, but, your survival guide music, I would say, out of all your project, is the most diverse, and you just kind of you could tell you have fun with it. You write what you want. That like being said, would you say that like punk rock in general is like a kind of limiting genre when it comes to writing music?
Yeah, for sure. That's the main reason why I have progressed over the years is that. With Tsunami Bomb, I had already been in two punk bands before Tsunami Bomb. And then I was in that band and we did two full albums plus a couple of 7-inch records.
Are you talking about, is it Plinky? Or, okay, yeah, okay.
He knows all your music.
Yeah. I know some of your music.
No, he knows all of it. He knows every single song, album.
I actually released the tapes of my first band, like from high school, on Patreon. So,
oh wow, okay, that's very cool.
There, that's crazy.
Exclusive. Make sure you timestamp that. Timestamp that so that people see that in a clip.
So yes, to answer your question, I totally felt like after having written that much in Tsunami Bomb, it was kind of like, well, I'm feeling like I would really like to do more. I would like to have the ability. And admittedly, because I have thought about it a lot over the years, I think I was also limiting myself. Like there are certainly bands like AFI, for example, or, you know, other bands where they stick with the band and they change the sound and they progress and they just deal with all of the haters, you know? And I think part of it to me was like, I can't handle when people are so mean about, you know, just like the way that people will just turn on a band. I think that happened a lot in punk rock too, you know, where people would just start hating a band for changing.
I feel like a lot of punk bands kind of went the route of like pop punkish. They started off with like really, you know, grindy punk, and like Newfound Glory is one of the examples, because their old first albums are like very punk, and then they kind of went to that pop punk, like, and that's where people started hating.
I think just to relate it to the question and her answer a little bit, that's kind of like where it's like, how can we have the conversation about it that way, where it's like, instead of this band is just writing songs,
right?
You know what I mean? They're writing songs and they're okay. They're kind of, you know, nebulously in this style,
right?
Versus the idea of like, okay, well, it's not exactly the way this, you know, it's not the same BPM, or what is it that makes those differences for the listener? It's like, oh, it's not happy enough, it's not sad enough. Yeah. Like, what are you talking about? It's like this is a bunch of dudes, bunch of musicians or females or whoever is in the band writing songs for you.
Right.
Why does it matter what style they turn out? I don't understand that. It's a weird thing for me. It's always been a weird thing.
I do agree with that, because Korn's my favorite band of all time, and they kind of went that route. They went a little bit more poppy, and I still dig it, but a lot of people hate it. I'm like, bro, it's still cool. It's just a different version of that band. Like they progress, and like they don't want to write the same thing over and over, so they're going to change it up. What's wrong with that? You know?
Yeah, no, I personally like, there's bands like Enter Shikari that I always quote, like, you know, it's like a big band that I love just because they love,
it's a good girl band. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But,
I'm just messing.
No, but I like how they push the, you know, the boundaries of what you're supposed to listen to. I know there's songs that the first time I hear it, I feel like almost, I don't get it at first. I'm like, I don't get this exactly. And then you listen to it a couple more times and like, okay, cool. This is a band that challenges me to understand them. And then by the end of the day, I love that song and I've grown my tastes.
Right.
And I've grown as a listener. I think we're lacking a lot of that. And I think like the bullet point of, you know, my whole speech here is that we need more artists doing that. We need more eclecticity in music and not just like, all right, here's the formula. Here's how this works.
Yeah.
And then, you know, sell it.
I do agree with that. Yeah, I do agree with that.
Cool. So I don't know. You got any questions? I got more questions.
But. Well, so you're saying, because you said you play bass and you play, I was watching your last live stream where you're playing a lot of bass. I'm a bass player, so I'm like, oh, cool. Yeah, like all distorted and everything. It's really cool. So my thing was like, what was your first instrument that you played, that you first started off with? Was it vocals? Was it an actual instrument? Or not an actual, I shouldn't say that. Vocals is an instrument, but is it an instrument, string instrument, or keyboards, vocals? And like, how many instruments do you play?
So I started, the first thing I ever did was I had piano lessons when I was like 8 or something. Nice. But not for very long. It was really boring. I did not like that at all as a child.
Punk rockers don't like lessons.
No. No, I kind of really hated that. I kind of wish that I hadn't hated it because, you know, I didn't learn very much.
Yeah, the irony of wanting to avoid the schooling of doing something, you know, that's the whole credo. And then still it's like, all right, well, I got to learn.
Yeah,
exactly. So I don't really count that as my first instrument. The first thing that I did was I was a vocalist in a punk band in high school. And then our bass player left the band to go to college. So I took over on bass.
Okay.
That's the whole story.
Nice.
Oh, but
nice.
You said how many?
How many instruments after that? Yeah.
I mean that's about it. I tried taking a guitar lesson. I did not like that. But like as an adult, like a few years ago, I did not enjoy that at all. And so yeah, I've got the piano here, and I have a pan flute, a plastic pan flute.
I saw that.
But I certainly don't consider myself a pan flute player.
Just about to ask, who's your favorite pan flute influence? You know?
I mean, it's got to be Zamfir. Right? He's the one.
Yeah.
I also was gifted an automaton. So I have that too.
Okay.
And I have a ukulele. I want to learn how to play it, but I have no idea how to play it yet.
Yes, I've been wanting one
too. Will you be plugging that into your distortion pedals as well? Or
it's not a plug-in kind of, I wish.
So speaking on the topic of bass, not too long ago, Johnny sold me a Hartke bass amp, and that bass amp is currently broken. Emily, do you have anything to say about that?
Wait a minute. You said it was working.
I want to hear what she has to say about that.
Wait, so he loaned it to you and it was
No, I bought it from him. I paid him the money to pay. He knocks 50 bucks off the price, but I really have to work with it to get it working. You know, how would you feel about that?
I would feel pretty bummed about that.
See, you hear that, Johnny?
See, you're just trying to get...
You bummed out, Em. Yeah. You hear what he did?
See what I'm saying, Em? They try to make me out as the villain, you know?
We definitely And to be clear, the bass amp works fine. I just wanted to throw him under the bus. Because when I showed up to pick it up, he was like trying to get it working and stuff.
I was doing everything in my power.
It was the cables that you had. I think both of them were fucked up.
Something.
But, I got it working fine. I just wanted to give him a hard time. That's what we do on this podcast. We razz each other, that kind of stuff. But it works fine.
And it's like real quick. The story behind that is a funny story. Well, not really funny, but
I don't think anybody cares. Let's
real quick. My band, we played like a 3-day run out in Bakersfield. So we drove from over here to like LA area all the way to Bakersfield. And I forgot my head.
Ooh.
And I realized when I got there that I forgot it. Also, all my hookups, my everything is connected to that head, you know? So I had my pedal, which was good because I use one pedal and it's a dark glass. So it works fine. It works for everything, but I didn't have plug for it. So I couldn't plug it in. So I literally had to go use somebody's equipment the first day and the second day straight to the guitar center to buy a head. I bought that head. I was going to return it. And this guy said, I'll buy it. So you know what? His fault.
It's my fault. It is my fault. Most things in my life that go wrong are my fault. So I'll
take
there's
that. Nothing wrong with it though. That's the bottom line, right?
It takes a minute to warm up.
It warms up.
I'm worried about, you know, the tubes in it. So I could replace that pretty easy, but I can manage.
I gave you 50 bucks off and yeah, I gave you
50 bucks off is pretty good.
You know how much that cab is worth that I gave you though?
Yeah. That's the other part. So I'll take it.
I gave him like half off that cab.
The bullet point is Johnny is a good guy. That's the bullet point.
Yes. I just want to make sure you know
you're
that.
Still a good guy.
But Anthony is a great guy. Just so you know, great guy over here. Okay. You got another question?
I do have more questions. Let me see. Okay. So when you, we'll wrap up the tsunami bomb questions. We'll move on to other stuff. I just want one last tsunami bomb question. One thing that stuck out to me about you as a band, you guys, you had like a kind of like a darker sound as a punk band. There's some bands that they have like a, especially in that like kind of like faster like punk stuff, they have like a It's just too up, like it's like upbeat and happy. It just comes off as like party music or something. You guys had this like brooding quality to you. What would you say you contribute that to? Like, would you say that there was a concerted effort to sound darker or?
Yeah, I think that we, as a group, we were definitely influenced by AFI a uh-huh. lot at the time. And they had released the All Hallows EP.
Yeah.
And Black Sails. And I think also being in the North Bay, it was kind of like that was what punk was like in the North Bay.
Okay.
It just was kind of like what we were into and what we were surrounded by.
So you guys were just the best at it.
Sorry, what was that?
No, I'm sorry. I was just saying, so you guys were just the best at it in the area.
I mean, I think AFI did it better. Just a little bit.
Just a little bit, you think? Or you know.
It's not like they're huge or anything.
They're not. No, I would say they're like a mid-level.
They're pretty big.
They're mid-level.
They're pretty big.
Mid-tier?
They're like mid-tier to
huge.
High.
Mid-tier huge.
Mid-tier huge.
This is where we get into all that nebulous language that people like to use these days. Right. All the hyperbole. Yeah, no, we're a little big, you know. But yeah, I'm sorry, continue.
I was just going to say they were always bigger than Tsunami Bomb though. They got exponentially bigger.
They are some of the gods of that, you know, that genre of, or that scene of music. They are really some of the all timers, you know.
Right, right. But are they on the Stool podcast? I think not. No, I'm just, we're big. No, you're bigger than us. Go ahead.
But yeah, no, I mean, yeah, like I said, I to me that as you know, when I was getting into this kind of music and forming my relationship with writing music and learning how to be a musician and kind of similar to your story where it's like you're forced to play this instrument or this or that, or you just love singing and then you love the music that you listen to. That's just the stuff that I gravitated towards. You know, I really gravitated towards like AFI, that the like I said, the darker, you know, spookier end of mm-hmm. end of the punk rock scene. And you know, I don't know, I would say I more or less wouldn't be the musician I am if not for, because I mean, I could have just totally just been in a Blink-182 cover band. Little fun fact, you know, me and Mick, that's kind of one of our first project is we would just cover Blink-182 songs, you know? And, and to me, I could have just very easily done that. But the thing that I started falling in love with was, you know, really branching out, blending stuff, recording weird sounds and being like, all right, we got to make this work somehow and doing stuff like that, you know? And like that's, I don't know, if not for that eclecticity and that style, I don't think things would have been the same.
Right. Right. Yeah. I hear that. Yeah. For me, with punk, I was like, I listened to a lot of like, you know, Misfits and more like that. I see your little Misfits light. That's pretty sick. I like that. that's kind of like more the realm of like, maybe like Samhain. Really anything around Misfits is kind of like where I gravitated towards, like more of the, I don't know, gothic punk maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't really know.
But it's darker. Like, there's just darker. Like a darkness to some of that music. You know what I mean? Like, it's in it. It's all like there's, you find people who listen to, you know, like the Descendants and the Addicts and they listen to the Misfits as well. But it's also like, it's got this like gothy element to it or whatever,
right,
you know?
Right. Yeah, that's kind of more of when it came to punk is what I kind of went through, and then like it kind of gravitated towards like punk thrash, you know, like that's I grew up on thrash. That's where
we just know this boy was. You were just made to eat corn. You were just made for it. You're a corn fan.
I was just made for it, dude. That was, look, Em, don't think that I just listened to, you know, that kind of music because these guys. I also listen to hip hop and jazz and oldies. I love oldies. That's all I listen to. Me and my girl, we listen to oldies all night, you know, dance to some oldies and stuff. Okay, so don't
you want to see
these guys.
And I only have eyes for... You're, come on, Johnny.
You're supposed to be singing to her, not to me.
No, oh man, come on.
Mick, can you get that off the screen?
I got this.
Right on M's face too. Huh? What?
What is it?
What happened?
Nothing, you're good? Oh, Mick, I thought Mick said something cut out. I was like, holy shit.
All right, cool. We're back. We're good.
I think we're good.
All right.
You were singing to M. Go ahead.
I was singing to you, fool.
Oh, I thought you were singing to her. I'm sorry. My bad.
But, so I don't know. I you got more questions? You have to have something.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the stuff that I wanted to pick your brain about is like, the Twitch side of what you do. How did that come across? Like, when did you get that going? And because you built a pretty good audience, I was, you know, I'm watching the Twitch, the replay, and it's a lot of people interacting, and that's something me and Mick really want to get going. Like, how did you just capture that and make it work for you?
Yeah, you totally should, because you have everything you need to just go ahead and get started.
Right.
And it's really fun, and you can build your community.
So let's talk about that, the community. Like, how did you build that?
Yeah, well, I kind of had an advantage because I already had my Patreon going at that point. So I did have some like core fans that were already online with me, you know, that weren't just at shows. So I was able to start my channel and have, you know, a handful of people, and just gradually, because I've been streaming for a few years, I think 2022 or 2021. I can't remember what year I started.
Two to 3 years. That's pretty good.
Two to three years. Yeah. So over time, you know, it gradually builds and gets better and stronger. But yeah, you might as well start.
Yeah.
See why not?
Right. I think we should start something like that. And I'm trying to like decipher what to do on Twitch, you know, like what are some of the things that you do? I noticed that you're covering Tsunami Bomb songs and like covering music. What are some of the other things you do on your stream?
I also do one stream a week is the requests. And then the other stream is where I'm practicing or learning a new song, because I can't read music or tabs. So I'm just like memorizing.
Shout out people who can't read music.
Shout out people who can't read in general.
I am also one of those people.
There are times when I do a special stream where I am creating a lyric sheet. Like, I just started a program on there where the people who donate each month, I'll keep track of all the names of the people who donate, and then do a raffle after the month is over.
That's cool.
Give away did you say something?
No, I just said that's cool. I like that.
And then I'll give away, like, they can request a lyric sheet that I will write out for them. So I've been streaming that a couple times. And sometimes, like on Patreon, I mean, you could easily do whatever you want to on Twitch, but sometimes I do ones where I'm just chatting, you know, just talking to people, sort of like updating them on what's happening with me. I do karaoke streams on Patreon, which I could do on Twitch, but it'd be a little harder with the copyright stuff.
Yeah. That's where we found out on YouTube.
A couple walls you might hit. Walls you
on
get
on YouTube,
hit.
we get some copyright. Most times the artists are okay with it, you know, but we still get the copyright on there. It's not a strike or anything. So we've been kind of like messing with that. We try to pause the video and go back on and pause it. And
I find it funny just because our whole point of, like, a lot of the time we try to share smaller artists or like artists that aren't like mainstream, self, you know, just kind of self-produced, self-funded artists, and still, you know.
still doesn't matter. Yeah. Slipknot and Metallica are the ones, if you play their music, they shut it down.
Yeah, it's gone.
Oh, yeah.
We played Slipknot. They said, nope, can't have that on. And we were doing everything, pausing it, all that stuff. They said, nope, don't play that. I'm like, all right, I guess, you know, but that's where we feel like we're finding some of the issues. But is Twitch the same, like, when it comes to that copyright stuff?
Twitch is, I think they're a lot less, they strike you. I haven't gotten any strikes so far.
Yeah, but, we heard it. We all heard it. And we're doing it on this end too. The wood was knocked on.
Thank you. So I haven't gotten any so far, but they don't have, it's not like YouTube where you can, where the, and it makes sense. Like on YouTube, the, you know, the original artist can be like, hey, that's my song. And then they get the ad money, right? Like they get any money. You just can't monetize that particular video. But with Twitch, there's no way for the artist to come in and be like, hey, give me some of the money you made during that stream, you know, like.
Right.
Yeah.
Two people subscribed during my song, so you owe me that money. Like, there's no way to separate it out. So it's like you get a strike. If they find you, you will get a strike.
The whole thing with intellectual property still just makes my mind itch. Like, it's so crazy to me, the idea of like owning this or that, like not being able to play it, like needing to get paid for every time something is played.
You're talking about fractions of the penny. Like,
yeah, it's come very on, guys. Weird, man. And people, there's people out there that are calculating it and you know, doing that, and that's how they make their money. And I don't know. I still, like I said, a lot of that stuff is so beyond me, man.
Yeah, there's a lot of companies like Sound Exchange and you know, BMI and stuff that calculates that stuff for you. But I know some of it they don't catch everything, but yeah, those are the companies that are capturing all those little bits of streaming and every little thing where your song comes on, you know, everywhere online, and they're capturing that, which is good for you as an artist. You're getting royalties if it catches it, but yeah, it's just crazy. Like, I mean, I would love for people to play the dunce like everywhere. Like, go ahead, I want you to play it. I don't need to make that little, you know. Like,
I'm kind of the same way. Yeah, just play my music. If people hear it, that's cool. Like, yeah. I mean, I don't care if you play it. You know, just play it.
Right.
What were the bands you said that shut it down? Was it Metallica?
Metallica and Slipknot are the ones. They shut it down every time.
I was going to tell you that that the only two that I've had like shut down. There have been two times now where I was streaming on YouTube, unlisted stream, for Patreon, doing the DJ stream, you know, where I'm playing records.
Yeah.
And they've shut me down like midstream, like they turned my stream off. Oh, two bands, damn. And it was Blondie and AC/DC.
Really? So
add those to your list.
That makes me sad about AC/DC. You know, you would think that they were the soul of rock and roll.
Yeah.
And they're not, you know, they're an industry just like everybody else. It's crazy.
I thought Prince was going to shut me down, but.
Really? Nice.
Oh, well, that's good.
That was his ghost from beyond the grave. Just like blessing you, you know?
You're good. I noticed that anything with Universal, anybody that's like signed to Universal or like close to Universal, those ones are the ones that get shut down.
Really?
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm sure it's the label more than
the label.
Yeah.
I doubt AC/DC has any control over that.
Nope, they don't. They don't have any control over any of their music, which is sad.
What Johnny, I feel what's going on here is that we need to get an exclusive interview with AC/DC to see how they feel about this particular thing.
I'll send a message out.
What do you think?
Yeah, let's send a message out.
All right.
I'll go to their IG and they probably don't even know how to use IG, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I'm 37 and I don't know how to use IG.
Right? Oh man, that's funny.
You got any questions, Mick? You've been particularly quiet today.
He's all quiet over there.
He's
running the stream. He's doing all the stressful shit.
No,
that's the hard part.
So what do you? I wanted to ask you. So I see you do your live streams. You do a lot of instrumentation stuff. You do like writing. You do like, you know, when you write, do you have a DAW that you just record into as you go? Or is it like, do you just rehearse stuff enough to memory to go into recording sessions, you know?
Yeah. So what I usually do, and I realized I didn't ever answer the question about how Lady Neptune was written.
We digress on here all the time.
That
it's
happens
fine.
Often.
It happens often.
So to answer your question, Mick, what I do is I record, I'll get one instrument out and I will record it. I'll just start messing around until I have something that I feel like sounds good. And then I will record that. I actually don't record an entire session because I feel like that would be way too much to sift through. But if I have like a little piece of a, of a, you know, like a section of melody with a certain keyboard sound, I will go ahead and record that and I'll kind of file it away. And I piece, like the way that I did Death Dreams was I got enough to just demo myself completely at home. And then I took my demos to the studio and we finished the songs out from there.
Okay. So you essentially get it to the point where you write the melody and you're like, how can I sell this? How can I grow this? How can I make this into something that I would want to listen to, that I would want to accidentally stumble upon on a streaming service radio station and be like, what the, you know, like, cause like for me, cause I, when I produce, I do that too. I like to like write just like stuff that's just really undeniable. And then just try to make that into something bigger than, you know, we never conceived that it could be, you know? So I like that. So with that said, I mean, I've seen you live. I've seen you play piano. I've seen you get down. You have the chops to do it. My thought is, so you don't know how to read music, right?
No.
None of us do.
I could because of those piano lessons I took in second grade. I could like kind of put together. I could read something very slow. I can look at a staff and figure out what note it is, but it's like so ridiculously slow.
You can't spot read. Is it called spot reading or whatever? Where it's like
sight reading.
That's what it is. Yeah, no, I've never been a guy who reads music. I've actually, in the last couple of years, I slowly have learned a little bit more about all the vocabulary and how to identify this and what all the symbols mean and stuff. And I'm trying to experiment with like writing all the songs that I've, you know, written just on, you know, onto sheet music and just seeing how that goes for me. You know what I mean? It's like seeing what it looks like, what my music looks like on sheet reading or sheets. And, I don't know. I think that's going to be my next like big experiment. Like I've written a lot of music and I feel like I've done and gotten a lot of the ideas that I had in my head out. What I want to do is kind of start getting better at understanding them musically so that I could express them in different ways and make them better. And, you know, I wrote some music, you know, way back in like 2008 and stuff where I didn't have all the proper recording stuff. And I would love to relive that stuff and you know, make it proper, you know. It's I don't know, there's something to just having that as an accomplishment, you know. But I don't know. I think it's cool. Johnny, do you read sheet music? Do you know how to read sheet music?
I do not know how to read sheet music. I can read tabs very well, though.
Okay, yeah. Tabs are easy.
That's how I started. My brother gave me my brother was the one that first started playing bass for a band called Jambi. And over here locally. They're pretty big locally, but not everywhere else. But I would wake up in the morning because I didn't go to school. I'll be like, I'm not going today. And then I just hear them blasting my, like this was the garage and I'd be right here sleeping. And then it'd wake me up and I'm like, okay, well, it's time to get up and I'll go watch my brother's band play. And I just always was intrigued about playing bass. And I was like, I want to learn. And he's like, okay, cool. I'll teach you. And I said, okay, cool. He showed me how to read tabs. And then he gave me Metallica Master of Puppets and a Slayer tab book. And he said, okay, there you go. Learn. And I was like, all right, I guess I'm doing this myself. And and that's how I started. So it was always tabs for me, really, like never anything else. But I did okay with tabs, you know. I just that's kind cool. of hear it and feel it.
Honestly, if I'm going to be honest, I've seen Johnny play like as a bassist. He is incredibly mediocre. I would say he's right up the middle. You know, he's good at being just good.
This is the thing with the bass.
I'm totally kidding. He's a great bassist.
With the
bass, he's really good.
All rhythm, and you just got to be just good enough, and that's it, and you're good. You know,
yeah.
It's not like I play a seven string or anything.
Right?
Yeah. Just sit in the back. You know, just hit the rhythms. You're good to go.
So. That being said, you know, the question at hand here is, as a musician that has built a successful career and has several different, you know, sources of creativity that you get to pump out and get revenue from. Do you think it is a necessary thing for any musicians out there to have to learn sheet music and have to learn that specific way of doing music to be successful?
No, definitely not. Boom. There's so many musicians who
she
don't
said it.
Know how to read sheet music.
Yeah, I think that's the beauty of creating music is doing it from. We have arguments all the time, me and these guys, about how I'm very much of like this like DIY mentality. Do it without rules. Do it without structure. Without like this, you know, whole like you need to learn how to do it this way. Learn your own way. You know, be an autodidact about how you create your music, and then you're gonna make the most creative and interesting kind of music.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't know why you say. Yeah, but arguments with us because we agree
because
with
you
that.
Guys talk. You guys often talk about like the commercial element of it of having to please the listener and all that
right,
stuff.
Right.
That's what I mean.
We try to do that too. Yeah, we try to do that too. I agree with that. We do a little bit of both though. You know, we try.
I don't disagree.
We try to please the listeners. You know, and if something sounds good and it's very something that we write that's very a little bit more modern, we'll try to recreate that. You know, as a song and. Push that out, but at the same time, we still do, you know, try to be as creative as we can within that realm. Like our last single, Cup of Song, was very like, I don't know, R&B-ish kind of alternative, and we never wrote something like that, you know. And at the same time, we're like, okay, let's write something like this. The song sounds really cool, the instrumental. So we're like, let's just go dive deep into that and see what comes out, you know. I'm a huge fan of like Faith No More, so like they do that all the time. They have stuff that's very, you know, like poppy out of nowhere, or like they're trying to grab the listeners, but then they have stuff that's really crazy and creative, like their last album. So I don't like the way you talk about me like that.
I only do it on the basis that Mick calls you a two-dimensional listener, and I trust his opinion. I trust his opinion.
All right, Em, check it out. They call me a two-dimensional listener, but none of these guys listen to Mr. Bungle and like Phantomos and like these crazier bands that literally have no lyrics. So you guys are two-dimensional listeners. I'm like four dimensions, you know?
Four dimensions?
Four dimensions, yeah.
Four dimensions. None of us know what that fourth dimension is. But.
Exactly. They don't know. See what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying here?
No, over time, I've learned more about you, Johnny. And if anything, I've learned that you're at least a 2.5 dimension listener. You know what I mean?
I'll take
at least that much.
Two and a half.
Okay.
I'll take two and a half.
I think that's meeting in the literal middle.
Literally. Yeah, let's meet in the middle with that. I'm okay with that.
Okay, I still got quite a few questions.
He's got a lot of questions for you, Em. Okay. He's been a fan since he was like 10 years old, 15 years old. How old were you when you
I was not 10.
He was like 15. He was like a teenager and crushing over you. No, so okay, go ahead and ask another question.
I would say the first song I heard, you know, involving you was Swimming in Molasses, and that song was a buddy gave me a mix of music, and he was like, here, try all these bands, right? And I heard that song, and then I was like, who's this band? And then I eventually, you know, kind of did the whole online digging thing, and I found more of your songs, and then I fell in love with 20 Going On. That's like one of my favorite songs of of this style, I guess. It's hard to say favorite songs of all time because you have like 200 of them, you know?
Yeah.
But it's one of them because it changed like kind of like how I listened to music in a lot of ways. It was one of those first darker songs that I was really like, and then like I got into the lyrics and I was like really into the lyrics. I'm like, all right, I might be a 14-year-old kid, but I know what she's talking about, right?
That's awesome. I love that.
So it was like, that was kind of one of my deals with you know, kind of first discovering your band and kind of starting to follow you. But I guess I'll just segue off of me and into do you have a favorite lyric? Do you have a favorite lyric over your career?
Oh. Ooh, wow, that's a
good one.
That's a tough question.
It's hard. I'm sure it's hard.
Well, Let's see. Well, first off, before I answer that, I want to say I think it's really awesome that you heard Swimming Through Molasses first. Like, that's like a that's kind of a deep cut, I feel like. And that's one of my favorites off of that record. That's
immediately grabbed me. It was a song that immediately grabbed me. And some of the things I would say about, you know, that record in particular is like, the intros fucking pop. They hit you. All of those songs, like they get you immediately, you know? So that's one thing that's cool. I don't know. I guess that's not really even complimenting you that much because a lot of them are instrumental. but obviously, you know, like I said, your lyrics, your vocals, the uniqueness of how you did your thing, all of that stood out to me very much when I was like, you know, kind of in my years of learning about music and learning about all that stuff. And it kind of, I don't know, like I said, you stood out, you know, so it was very cool.
That's awesome. Well, thank you. To answer your question about a lyric, it's really hard for me to choose a particular lyric, but I can say that there's one that I used that I reused. So okay. That maybe says something.
Yeah.
I feel like in my music career, the first like real serious song that I wrote was Not Forever. I don't know if you know that one from Tsunami Bomb. Do you know that one?
Yeah. I mean, I'm familiar with the song. I don't know the lyric. Okay.
No, that's okay. So I had the lyric in that one, Count on Nobody and No One Will Let You Down.
Uh-huh.
And then in my survival guide record that I released last year, I sort of referred to that lyric in Sour Sorrow when I say, I told myself so long ago not to count on another soul.
Okay.
So that's kind of a fun little...
So you
little,
felt
like,
those were similar, like referencey enough, you know, to...
Yeah.
No, I think that's really cool. I mean, I've literally had to reuse lyrics in my career, like we're literally like, it didn't work in a song as good. And I was like, I think it fits better here. And that song is kind of dead in the water or whatever, you know, from an old band or something. So I'll reuse it. So hearing you like, oh yeah, if there's a theme that I attach myself to and I think that works, that's cool. I feel not so strange for doing that, you know?
Yeah.
I have a question for you. So as a writer, as a vocalist, do you write the lyrics first and then build a melody around that? Or do you do, well, this is what I do. I'll record like a melody, whatever hooks to the instrumentation first. Sometimes I'll ad lib some weird vowels and stuff just to kind of like give myself placement and feeling first and then kind of write lyrics to that. Or do you just go straight on?
We basically scat. I know I'm relating to him on this, like where you just like scat a melody, you know what I mean? Like dip top, did a hate a hema. And then you just do whatever. And then that's how you get that. And then you write lyrics later.
Yeah. That is kind of what I do. Okay. I normally will have, I'll create the words and the melody independently of each other, usually is what I'll do. So I'll have a notebook with like free writing, and that's all on one subject that's like, you know, intended to be one song, and I'll write whatever comes to mind about it. And then sometimes some rhymes and patterns will start to emerge from it. But at that point, I don't usually have a melody for it. I will take the music that's, you know, roughly done, or at least pieces of music, and then come up with a vocal melody on top of it and do exactly what you're saying. Like I might record something that's just like a,
Now, do you have any plans to share some of those little things on Patreon? Because I'm sure people would love to hear that.
Yeah. I actually just updated my Patreon rewards to where now a certain like higher level tier is going to be getting all the demos from the album.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, I'm kind of scared.
Yeah. Anthony's going to be on that for sure. I want to hear that. That's going to be great.
Gonna be.
Yeah, definitely going to be. Yo, that's really cool.
What about you, Johnny? Do you have anything to chime in?
I have a question. that rotary telephone back there, is that actually, can you actually use it's functional. That?
it's a microphone.
Oh, it's a microphone.
I love
that's cool.
That's so cool.
I've been wanting one of those so bad. Seriously.
It's been converted so that that's it can be so plugged neat. In with a regular quarter inch cable.
Do you use that's that on really Twitch cool. at all? Do you ever use that or interact with any of that stuff? You know, like crazy ways to do it, or you just use your setup?
I haven't used it on Twitch yet. I used it recently for an online Battle of the Bands, but I do use it for venue shows.
Okay, cool.
That's
cool.
Really, that's awesome. Use that exact one right there.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Can you make a telephone call on that?
No.
Oh, I was going to give you a phone number to call on that.
That would have been cool.
It ends in 0 or 8, but we don't have to do that. That's okay.
Did you dox me right now?
What are you talking about?
He just gave out half of my phone number.
I gave out the last four digits of your phone number.
But if you have the area code, you can almost like suss out what my phone number is.
You see how he's getting red, Em? You see how he's getting red? You see that?
They keep on trying to reference this joke that like I had a crush on you and
because you did
obviously that's something you've probably dealt with in your career, like there's like you know throughout like you know playing shows you were you know this awesome female vocalist and there's all these dudes that fangirl after you of course right that's a thing I can't we can't lie about that
nope,
right
you're the only one Anthony
damn it. Yeah, I mean, I got to embrace that. Then I'm red in the face here. I got nothing to say.
I can't tell at all.
But no, I mean, obviously, no. I think it's just one of those things that's like, so you're incredibly impressive person. You know, you're obviously it's awesome. Everything you do is very awesome. You know, so
thank you. Well, I definitely starting in punk rock. I was, you know, one of the few girls on stage. So yeah.
Oh, I do have this question, honestly, that relates exactly to that. Do you consider yourself a legend or an icon?
No.
No, straight up no. I would say, I mean, I think that there's a handful of like female vocalists, especially, you know, if you want to start splitting it up by genre, you come up, I would say, at the top of a lot of lists of, you know, in that movement of punk and stuff, man. So I'm going to at least give you status of icon. Are we all good with that? Let's get the thumbs up. Icon.
Thumbs up on that one.
Mick, Johnny.
That's actually how I wrote out your intro, but we didn't get to it that way, but that's okay.
It's the name of the episode, Icon.
Icon, yeah. Episode name right there.
But yeah, no, I think what you have done is incredible, not only in, you know, like in your early work with, you know, for the punk rock scene and being, you know, one of those first initial, you know, female vocalists to stab through, you know, the norm of what was going on. And then just be not only that, like, cause to be fair and to kind of be unbiased about things, like there are female vocalists out there that are bad. You know what I mean? I don't want to be, there's male vocalists out there that are bad. There's female vocalists.
Yeah, everybody.
But you are one of the, I would say one of the good ones that like really your writing reflected, you know, your talents reflected. And then I say that reflects today in the survival gun music you put out.
Yeah.
And it's cool that you've been able to parlay it into doing this, you know, incredible career that you do yourself. It's really impressive. Really impressive.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Okay. So let's take this moment to like just do some plugs real quick. Em, you can plug all your channels. I'm gonna actually put a little tagline for all your stuff. So plug everything that you want to plug right here, right now. This is perfect timing.
Okay. So I have my Twitch channel where I would love for people to come by. It's twitch.tv/survivalguidemusic. And then I have my Patreon, which is like the real core of people, like the core of people. And that is Survival Guide Without Vowels. So that's patreon.com/SRVVLGD.
Okay.
And you can find me all over the place with using one of those two handles. I started out with the survival guide with no vowels,
yeah,
but that
I was
did
familiar
not work
with that
on Twitch.
One, yeah.
So I've kind of been, it's I've got a little bit of both going on all over the internet. I also have coming out soon a cocktail book that you will be able to order on my store, which is linked everywhere. And my website has everything, which is srvvlgd.com.
Sweet. Awesome.
Perfect. Perfect. I don't want to end or nothing. I'm just saying mid episode plugs.
We could clip the plugs right there. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So go ahead, Anthony. Let's hit your plugs now. We usually do them at the end, but let's do them in the middle. Why not?
Okay. So, literally 2 days ago, my band just did a live stream with the DM Tower Sessions. Just check out their page. They're going to be reposting that stream. We did an hour-long song or an hour-long set of songs that we normally... one hour-long song is what we played. we did an hour-long set of all our original songs and then as well as a bunch of cover songs. We covered like the Beastie Boys and the Cranberries and it was a lot of fun.
That's dope.
So go check us out and help us get more views on that. That's going to help us out. We got a show at the Whiskey on October 27th with Poet and Whispers of Torment and who else? Oh my God. Wise Man Say. And I'm so sorry. There's like two more bands that I'm not remembering, but it's going to be a great time. Come out. My Patreon is finally live with my comic book stuff that I'm doing.
Hell yeah.
So it's going to be that. It's going to be extra podcasts for the Nerdworthy page that I do. And then the last thing I want to plug is that Nerdworthy page. It's just me and my sister and her, her boyfriend. And we post all kinds of funny 80s and 90s related like humor to cartoons and all that kind of stuff. So, share that, and we're having a lot of fun doing that. And that's pretty much all I got. Mick, go for it.
Oh, yeah. At Mick Stradamus on Instagram. You can check it out. I got music solo projects. It's on everywhere it's streaming right now. Got a new single out called Lullaby. Go ahead and check that out.
Fucking banger.
Banger, banger, banger. And then The Dunce. We have a new music video out. Go ahead and check it out. Cup of Song is out right now. Also, too. Go ahead and follow The Dunce on YouTube and check it out. So,
hell yeah.
Cool. Just follow me on Johnny Savage, JONNYSAVAG on Instagram, on TikTok, on YouTube. Check out my band DNG Heavy on IG. We have a new EP coming out. Probably by the beginning of next year. And then The Dunce, we got an EP coming out this month in about, 2 weeks or so.
That's right.
Check out The Stool Podcast. If you guys are listening right now on YouTube, make sure you like and subscribe. Follow us on Instagram, The Dunce Official on Instagram and TikTok, The Dunce Official. Mick, is that official on that one too?
The Dunce Official.
No, it's just The Dunce.
The Dunce on TikTok. Oh. There's somebody on IG that has The Dunce, so we gotta take that guy out and then take that that tag. But other than that, guys, make sure you check out all that. You can check out past episodes and future episodes of The Stool Podcast on Spotify and all that good stuff. So just check out wherever you listen to podcasts, listen to it, on there. So, so let's continue here.
I got more questions armed up. I got like four or five more questions.
What time are we at, Mick? How long are we in this episode so far? 123.
Oh, cool. Okay. Let's do two more questions and let's wrap, dude. That's pretty good. An hour and a half, right?
Yeah. Or she says she was good till 6 o'clock. So we got about two more hours.
We don't want to press her for time.
No. That's okay. She's okay with it. We're going to go four more hours. No, she's kidding. No, we'll go a little bit more. I did want to listen to the rest of her song, but let's go to you. You said you had a question, Anthony. Go ahead. And okay, he has a lot of questions. The thing with M is this guy talks a lot.
I just wanted to...
his nickname?
Play me like that.
Real M. For real, his nickname, though, we call him Ranthony.
Because if what I have to say is not guided by something, then I will just tangentize for whatever, for however long. But okay, so let's just crack into this because we're, already talking about, promotion and stuff. But yeah. What's your, your releasing process like for the most part? Like when it comes to writing a record, right? Let's say you do all of the creation. creating, all of the writing, all of that stuff. You get the album art, all of that's done. Do you have a lot of space and like time in between when you make something and then you release it? Or do you kind of fly by the seat of your pants and just kind of go for it?
It's kind of been different from release to release. The last one, the Death Dreams album, came out on Double Helix Records. So, I was working on it with them, like mm-hmm. in tandem, planning everything. And we had a publicist who was the one who kind of gave us guidelines, I guess, on, or suggestions on like, well, if the record is done by this date, we want this amount of time to be able to promote it efficiently. And you don't want to do it during this time of the year because, like they said, not to do it in summer because that's when it's like kind of a not normal type of the year, not normal life. You're not living your normal life for some people, you know, like whether you're a parent or a kid or a teen or whatever, like summer is when people are vacationing and traveling.
Yeah. Yeah. They're so not thinking about new music or something like that. Yeah. I'm sure that's like the idea.
Yeah. Unless it's like a very summertime song. Yeah. You know? And you don't want to release during the holidays because people are distracted by that a lot. So we kind of based everything off of that, off of their suggestions. And, if a release that I'm on is on a label, then that is usually what ends up happening. It's like, there's a professional who has ideas about what they think is the best way to time a release.
So I
personally don't really have like a good idea of how to do that.
Follow up to that. Does that frustrate you a little bit? Just being like, I have all this finished material. Like I want to get it out. And then you have to schedule it or.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, especially Death Dreams. It was like, it was recorded and mixed at the end of in like November, 2022. And it didn't come out until October of last year. So it took almost a year for that record to come out because of the timing of like, well, it's too soon, you know, now we're in holidays but spring is too soon. And so it had to be in fall. Yeah, it was really, I didn't like that, but I am also patient. So it was okay.
What are some of the independent releases you've done? Would you say that process was smoother or I don't know, how would you take that? Like something where it's like you just did something and just put it out.
Yeah. I mean, there was less coverage. They were less professionally done.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
there was definitely, less visibility, which I think is what we all want as musicians. You know, I think that's where it's like a give and take, you know, it would feel better to release the music faster, which is definitely what I've done in the past with like with my covers album and stuff. I just put it out there, but it just doesn't, not as many people end up hearing it ever.
Yeah.
So in a lot of ways,
I think that's incredibly insightful. I mean, I think that we cracked into something there. We talk a lot of music business on this podcast, you know, as much as we joke and stuff, but we like to crack into that and figure out, you know, as a burgeoning artist or an artist that's, you know, just trying to build your whole thing from the ground up, what are the best routes of doing it? And sometimes figuring out how to compete with the big dogs, you know, it's sort of would you guys say that's the purpose of this podcast? How to compete with the big dogs?
No, not at all. I mean, look at the way I see it is, I mean, I get what you're saying, Emily, like, you know, it's better to put stuff out right here, right now. It does feel good. There's a good feeling that comes from just like, I got this done, I'm gonna show you guys. You know what I mean? Versus the amount of effort put into the branding behind an album. You know what I mean? That, you know, mm-hmm. maybe an outside source would see differently than you would, which is, I mean, there's value in that too, where it's just like, oh, I didn't think about it like that. You know what I mean? As far as like artwork goes too, do you do your own artwork? I mean, how does that go about?
Yes, I have been, well, so for Death Dreams, I did do the artwork because it was a photo that I took that really just, I just felt strongly about. But for my covers albums that I released before that, and I released a 7-inch, I asked a friend, I have a friend who's an artist here in San Antonio, and asked him to do the artwork for me. So it kind of depends on the release and what kind of, if I have any sort of vision for it, because I can do graphic design stuff, but it's not my forte.
it's that self-inflicted DIY. I think that should be a new term, is SIDIY, self-inflicted. Literally, you have to do it out of necessity. Yeah. I've done all of that, you know, where it's, you have to make lyric videos, or you have to make a video for yourself or whatever. I've tried all of the DIY routes, you know, of putting out music, and some of them have worked out and some of them haven't. And I would say that's like, that's kind of like the I would say a fun part of being an artist to a degree, as long as you take it with like a grain of salt, you know what I mean? Is because we all of us have like 9-to-5 jobs that, you know, that we, you know, pay our rent with and whatnot. But I do music like on the side as like a, you know, as a thing that is just a release. It makes me feel good, and I don't put this onus on it to be how I make, you know, my money. And it kind of, it's a kind of a freeing thing, because then I just get to do whatever the hell I want, you know? And then like, I put it out there, and when it goes well, it's super sick. And then, you know, like if it doesn't go well, then I understand. I'm like, okay, well, I even had doubts about this thing or that thing, but, you know, but if I do something that I had faith in and it goes well, I'm like, okay, cool. That all adds up and it feels good. You know, I think there should be more of that in, the artistic, scene, in the creative scene, is just creating music for not necessarily for revenue or whatever, but just to just kind of express yourself, right? You know?
Yeah, for sure.
I think that's one of the main things that we do as musicians, is we want to express ourselves and in our music, and like, you know, live performances and how the record sounds, you know? And so I agree with that. I like that, you know, and I know
we're going to finally start to agree. Dude.
Yeah. A little bit.
Season 2, the Stool podcast, the agreement era. You know?
Right. Yeah. Because with the Dunce, we are very about like, yo, we're trying to make money off of this at the same time as write what we want to write. But, you know, we want to, you know, be successful and be able to supplement our, you know, job incomes like for the music, you know, and for this, the podcast, like, I think that is one thing that's very important to us, that we're, you know, really trying to drive and keep on and keep it going, you know? So yeah, it's been a lot of work in progress, but, it'll get there, I think. You know,
that's honestly, today I would say went off without a single hitch.
Not one.
Huh? Right? Everybody?
Yeah, we weren't trying to fix everything for the past 2 hours before you came on at all.
No, I honestly, I think that's a good spot to wrap, just to make sure we don't have any more issues and everything. But this has been incredible. This is honestly a highlight of my whole month. This is a great birthday. Like I said, we are October babies, so my birthday is a couple days from now. He's got a birthday. We will definitely plug your book and whatever drink it is, the
blood perfume.
Blood perfume. Yep. Sorry, I have a lot going on here up here right now. Okay. But we will make that on the podcast, I think.
We'll definitely. So every time you plug something, I'm going to put a little link up top, like as best as I can, into the video, all that stuff. You're good.
I was thinking you guys did a way better job plugging yourselves than I did.
You want to do a take two? Oh, you have every right to do a take two.
Yeah, you can go ahead and plug some more stuff if you want.
Keep on plugging if you need to fill, you know, plug everything that you want to share.
I mean, I guess, well, if you're going to do, you know, if you're going to link some stuff,
of course,
then I'm sure that's fine. Okay. Yeah. But I did, you know what? I did have one thing that I thought you might be interested in.
Absolutely.
Because it is very current for me right now. I mean, because you talk about like the industry and stuff. I this year joined the Recording Academy, and I'm a voting Grammy member.
Oh, wow.
The voting is like starting right now.
Oh, okay. Oh, oh man.
So how does that work? Let's talk a little bit about that.
How did you crack into that?
Yeah, I mean, so this is the first time that I've been a voting member. So I don't exactly know how it's going to work, but I just got the ballot and it's like full. I submitted Survival Guide. Which I don't really expect. I mean, the list is so long and there's so many famous, huge artists on it, obviously. But as a voting member, I have a few weeks to like listen to everything.
Oh, wow.
And the way that the voting works is that there's only two rounds. So it's like starting, they make everyone vote on like every single submission that got sent. And then that gets narrowed down to like the top five artists or however many in each category, which I think is kind of crazy.
Oh, okay. How do we go about becoming a part of that? Because that's interesting.
Oh, I think I think we are a long stretch from getting to that place.
No. We just do it. Who cares?
You just need to be, I think there's, I can't remember exactly what the requirements are, but you basically need to have a release within a certain amount of time. Like I don't think it's extremely difficult to get in. You basically need to prove in a few ways that you are a serious musician.
Okay.
And then you have to get recommendations. That I think maybe is recommendations. The hardest part.
Okay, got you. So we got for recommendation, yeah?
Yes.
She's like, it may be my first year, but I will totally put all of my reputation on the line for you guys. But yeah, that's awesome. That is so cool. What made you want to do that? Like, what made you think about, you know,
I had a friend who was part of the Academy a while back, and I had gone to a few different events that was in San Francisco, and it was super cool. It was like they had, I don't know what it's going to be like here in San Antonio, because this branch is based in Austin. So I'll have to travel up to Austin to go to events, and I don't know how many they're going to have, but in San Francisco, it was like, they would have, like, one time I got to see an acoustic set of Gloria Gaynor, who did I Will Survive.
Oh, my God.
That's really cool.
That's epic.
She just came and did a performance for the Grammy Association. And it's at a venue and everyone's there hanging out. And so I just met a bunch of other musicians in the area. And that's one thing that I want to do more of. As a professional musician, and I, having lived in California most of my life, and now I'm in Texas, it's like, well, maybe I should try after the album comes out, and I can for sure prove that I'm a musician.
Sounds to me like pure credentials. Those are credentials. Oh yeah, I helped vote for the Grammys. You don't even have to tell me that it's your first year. None of those details. Nothing like that. If you tell me that, like, you're carrying an air of legitimacy that just carries you.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I mean, I did have to prove it to them.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I mean, but you did. You did prove it to them. So you know, you got to prove. So there you go.
Yeah.
All right. So one last question, one final question. Why did you leave California, and why is Texas way better than California?
Yes. Tell us why you're better than us.
That's,
now.
That was my question.
Are you from Texas?
No. I'm actually from California. I'm born and raised here, but I understand fleeing from here.
I mean, I just wondered because there's a lot of Texas pride. Like people who are from here. That's in their soul.
I mean, I'm from Southern California. I've literally only, you know, traveled outside a couple times to tour and this and that. But I do love Southern California. It's crazy. It is crazy.
Definitely crazy.
It's crazy nowadays.
Taxes are crazy.
It's crazy expensive. It's crazy overcrowded. It's wild right now.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Well, I left California because of my husband's job. So it really didn't have that much to do with me and my situation. And he is not from San Antonio, but from Texas. Like, he's a native Texan.
Oh, okay.
So it was kind of like, we've been out in California, you know, near my family for a long time. So
it's a trade-off. Yeah. It's a little trade-off. Yeah. We did the 5+ years this way. Let's do the other 5 plus that way, you know?
Yeah.
That's so awesome.
But I do. Oh, sorry. Did you have a question, Mick?
No. Well, yeah, I was going to say, what you call it? How do you like the music scene over there compared to over here? Cause I mean, you know, you do a lot more local shows over there, right? I'm assuming.
I need to do more. I haven't fully, I mean, especially with COVID and everything, like I have not fully immersed myself in this scene, I feel like. And San Antonio in particular is very like metal. It's like a metal city.
Nice.
Yeah, I figured.
I kind of knew that already, but I didn't know that it was like really, I got it just from touring here and being here multiple times beforehand. I kind of got that sense, but it's like official, like everyone's like, yeah, we all like people here grew up, their parents listened to metal. So they listened to metal. So it's like really interesting in that way to me.
Have you considered doing the same kind of music that you play, but just doing some face paint? You know, maybe that might just change the whole.
A couple of gutturals and a couple deep growls and stuff. I think you might have something.
That would be a sight for sure. But I mean, I'm spent. I think I got through most of what I have here. I mean, oh yeah, but this one. I would say, okay, as a person who's doing this all very independently, you've obviously built, you know, through a lot of hard work and a lot of different avenues, some success. Would you have any sort of advice for people trying to do the same thing?
Oh, man. I guess I feel like my best advice would just be to try different things, try different ways, and try doing the things that interest you and just see what happens. I mean, it's kind of seems to be the mantra already around here, right?
Right.
Anthony, that's kind of like what you've already
said. Yeah. Yeah. I've said it. I talk ad nauseum. What was it? Ranthony, you call me? Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. No, I talk about that all the time. Yeah.
I literally have him in my phone as Ranthony because that's how I see him. Cause he rants on.
Yep. Yep.
But it's fine. I like him for that.
Ranting about being original and just trying.
Yes. 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 Yeah. We've gotten to a couple conversations.
I do good rants. They're good rants. They are. They're rants with a purpose. I promise.
He challenges me and Mick a lot and the ways that we think, you know, we have a lot of similarities definitely, but we try to pertain to our audience a little bit more, you know, and stuff like that. And Anthony's more on the side of, right for you only. And I get that. I totally get that side too. So that's how I've always been. But just, I'm like, you know, I see the opportunity to become a musician for life and just writing the music that I want to write, but also pertaining to the outside a little bit, you know? And so I get both sides.
Considering the listener, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I'm kind of in the middle in that way. Like if we're talking about songwriting and music, it's like, I would rather, like I am going to write what I want to write, but I also want it to be listenable, you know? Like I want it to be something that people are going to enjoy and appreciate.
But I would say that's like literally the crux of the idea of the experimentation of writing music is like, is this listenable? Like, is this something like, I believe in it, but does it cross that threshold of a thing that when other people hear it for the first time, they're going to be like, oh, that's tight. You know what I mean? That's kind of where I live is where it's like, you know, I experiment so much. I write so much where it's like, I've gotten to the point where it's like, I know, it's like, oh yeah, this is just for me. I'm George Clooney. I'll make your Ocean's 11, you know, for, you know, so I can make the money off of the single or whatever. And then I'll make, you know, what is it? The Men Who Stare at Goats, you know, I'll make my indie bullshit, you know, that's kind of where I live, is like, I think there's a good compromise to be made. Try to, you know, sell it to a listener and get it to people. And but also just try to get the listener to compromise a little bit on their end too, yeah, to get you
to get what you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I get that too. That's what me and Mick do. I mean, a lot of our stuff is very experimental. So, you know, we're like, hey, we're challenging you, like, to listen. If you like us, like, try to listen to this and check out what this is, because it's weird. I'm letting you know right now, it's strange, it's different, but at the same time, we want, you know, to grab both, I guess, both audiences.
Just challenge yourself.
Yeah, you know? It's all about challenge yourself as a musician, for sure.
Yes.
Hell yeah. I think, is that our Jerry Springer final thought? Challenge yourself? Yeah,
final thought.
That's our final thought.
Challenge yourself, guys. Just, you know, a little bit. Just a little bit.
This was amazing. This was great. What a great interview. This was awesome. You were incredibly insightful and informative. This was so cool.
Oh, good. Thank you for having me. It was fun.
No, thank you. Agent M, AKA, thank you so much for just coming on the podcast and talking with us. We're a little bit all over the place, and we like to ask questions and we try to do all these things, you know. So I appreciate you being patient with us and having fun with us here today. I know it started off a little rocky, but we got it going.
Are we having to edit out more?
Yeah, it worked out really good. We don't have to edit out nothing, honestly. I like to go raw on the videos, right? Just send them out, you know. But
yeah, let the world see behind how the sausage is made.
Yeah, exactly. What's wrong with that?
You know, I mean, the sausage part, I guess.
Yeah.
This is a podcast. There should be no sausage involved.
Right. Honestly. There should be no food involved. Speaking of food, I'm hungry.
Right. All right. So cool. We'll wrap it up on that. I'll do the outro. Mick, you got anything else to say?
I'm good. But just
cool.
Yeah, so just appreciate you guys listening to us. Em, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. We appreciate you so very much. Definitely want to do a round two one day. We can get in more depth into some more music. We can listen to more music and share more music. We would love that.
For sure.
And just thank you very much for coming on, Anthony.
So this has been the Stool Podcast. Thank you again to Emily Whitehurst, Em. Agent M, legend, icon, admitted on this podcast. We have proof. She said it. She knows her icon status.
Did I say it?
We'll go over the tape later, I think. I'm not sure. We said a lot of stuff on here. But thank you guys again for watching and listening. This has been a blast. I am Anthony. That's Johnny. That's Mick. This has been The Stool. We love you. Bye.
Thank you very much.